just dare to do right and see what God will do with you and for you. I took the life of Hezekiah. How that he chose the right motives. How that he put the things in the right place. And just did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not only that, I read a statement from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. years ago. And we find that this statement still echoes down through the years, and I believe it's a true statement. And I want to read it to you again this morning. It says, "Do right regardless of their consequences. Do right though the stars fall out of their silver sockets. We're not asked if it is convenient, but if it is right. Decide to do right at any cost, and you can live a victorious life. Do right if all the guns mounted on hell's battlements are turned against you. Do right if you have to die, for it is better to die for the right than to live for the wrong." And how true that statement is. It's better just simply to do right. And I believe that has been my motto down through these 3 years, and as pastor, and I want that to continue to be our motto here at church. And it's just simply to do right. Whatever comes, whatever befalls us, as individuals, in your personal life, you ought to dare to do right. Just do right. Put things in the right place, in the right order, and do that which is correct. Then whatever befalls this church, you ought to just do right. And not let bitterness and all these things... And I tell you, I have to read this sermon every once in a while. I have to keep it in my mind. And we live in a sinful world. We live in a wicked world. And we live in a world that's against us. And we live in a world that many Christians are against other Christians. And but God tells us to do right. And if we'll do right, then the Lord will do His part, and He'll take care of some things. Now tonight I'll have some things I want to read to you, and I believe the Lord has blessed our doing right. We have the year-end financial statement as far as the church is concerned, and I've given a comparison over the last 4 years, and the Lord has blessed Grace Baptist Church. And I believe the reason for the blessing is that we have endeavored to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Not matter what anybody else might think, what somebody else might say, but just to do right and let the Lord bless. And I believe the Lord's done that. We've seen people saved. We've seen people brought into the church. We see folks that are looking our way. We see finances. We see missions. We see everything that we have done. We see that the Lord has put His stamp of approval. And we see that God has blessed the ministry of Grace Baptist Church. And I want us to continue to have the blessings of God. You see, the blessings of the Lord can depart from us if we begin to do wrong. The blessings of the Lord can go away from us if we get in wrong ways and wrong spirits. And I believe we ought to just be like David said, "Lord, keep me in a right spirit." And just to do right in the sight of the Lord. So tonight I'll have that, and we'll read that. Have copies if you want it. I believe it'll be a blessing to you to see how the Lord's blessed in these past years. All right, this morning, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45. Now, I'm going to do something today that I very seldom ever do. I'm going to start, and I hope I can finish, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, a series of messages that I believe the Lord has instructed and helped me to get together. I've been working on these for a number of weeks, and I pray the Lord will use these times together that it can be instructive to the people of God here this first month of this new year. And the Bible in Isaiah, chapter number 45, I'm going to read here to get the title to the entire series of messages, and then we're going to turn over to the book of Colossians to get the message this morning. But the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, and verse number 2, says, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." Now I want us to take for our text these next few weeks, if the Lord will permit us to do this in order, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to try to follow the leadership of the Lord, and just because I think I know what I'm going to preach next Sunday, that's very unusual, and if God changes my mind on that, we'll just come back and get this later. But I want to give you a series of messages in these next few Sunday mornings upon the treasures of darkness. Now, just that little old phrase there caught my attention one day, and that's a strange statement, the treasures of darkness. And I believe that the Lord has some things for the people of God that are hidden to the natural man, and they are darkness unto them because they do not understand the treasures that God has for the believer. Now, the last year, I think I brought a message upon the treasure of the believers and the treasures of the Word of God, the Scriptures. And there's been a lot of things. I've been working on these things for a number of weeks, and some time been put in on this. And I pray that the Lord will bless it, that we will look into the Word of God and see what God has for His people. Now, whether or not the world wants to believe it, He has a chosen people. We that are born again by the Spirit of the Lord, we are His people. We have been called by His name, and even though we did not know Him, as verse number 4 tells us, God has still revealed to us the Word of God, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have these treasures that have been given unto us, but to the world they are nothing more than foolishness and they are darkness. Thank God He's given to us the treasures for the child of God, and He has opened them up to us, but it's found in this blessed old book that I hold, that I don't have any problem whatsoever. And I can say as long as anyone else that this is the Word of God. This is the message of God's Word. And this book not only contains the Word of God, this book is the very inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that we have. And we don't need anything else other than this book right here to know the treasures that God has for the child of God. Now, if you would, turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, and I want us to read verses 1 through 3. Colossians chapter number 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now remember the treasures of darkness. And I'll give you the first one this morning that I pray will be a blessing and a help to the child of God and might point to the Lord, those that are lost, that we might see Him. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches in the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." Now notice verse number 3. "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In whom? Who's it talking about there? It's talking about God the Father, God the Son, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I want us to think this morning on the subject of treasures in Him. These things that are hid in Him, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, the New Testament, the Word of God, is given to us that when we see error, that this book right here might open and reveal that which is false. The best way you can combat false doctrine is not what you think or not what somebody else said, but what thus saith the Lord. The best way you can combat that which is evil and wicked and sinful in your life or somebody else's life is to take this Bible, this Word of God, and to get into it and find the treasures that we have in Him and tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus was given to correct those errors that we find in this world. Now we find that with Jesus Christ, that we find in Colossians chapter number 1, we find that Jesus is redemption. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Everything we have today is because and in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption by His blood, through His blood, because of His blood. We have redemption this morning. We've been redeemed by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ there on Calvary's tree. That we have life and we have eternity with God. And we can go in and we can sing a song like we just did. And we can sing those great old songs that all is well, everything is all right. Thank God it's because we have redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. Not only do we have redemption in Jesus Christ, but we have revelation in Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 15 of Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. If you want to have something revealed to you, if you want to know about God, then the only place you can look is to the Lord. If you want to know the nature of God, look at the nature of Jesus Christ. If you want to know the attributes of God, look at the attributes that Jesus had while He was here upon this earth. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God Himself. He is the image, and the Bible says, of the invisible God, God that we cannot see with our eyes, and we can only see by faith, but one day, thank God, He sent His Son, and now we have that which is visible for us, and we can look to Him, and we have treasures in Him. Amen. We have revelation of Jesus Christ. We have redemption in Jesus Christ. We have realization in the Lord. Look in verse number 27 of that same chapter. To whom God would make known. Thank God He's made known some things to the child of God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank the Lord this morning that we have a realization that Christ is in us and He's our only hope of glory today. If we're going to heaven, it's not because of what we've done. It's not because of what we think we're going to do. It's not because of anything else other than we have redemption through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and we have Christ in us.
Amen.
The hope of glory. He lives in us this morning as a child of God. We have realization that He lives right here in our heart. We need to understand that, and we need to know that where we go, He goes, and what we say, He knows we say, and what we think, He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Whether we ever articulate it with our mouth or our tongue or not, God knows what's in our thought because we have the realization that Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Him as redemption. We have Him as revelation. We have Him as realization. Then, thank God, we have Him as reconciliation. Look in verse number 20 here in this same chapter. Chapter number 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that are sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. You know what reconcile means? It means being brought together. Thank God we have been brought together with the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the reconciliation. He's the one that is the Redeemer. He's the one that has brought us into a union, to a fellowship that no one, nothing else, nothing on this earth can do what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
We that are saved, we have Christ living us because we've been redeemed, and we have the revelation that we can see the invisible God by looking to the Word of God and seeing His lovely Son, that He came from heaven's glory down to this old wicked, sinful earth, and now we have been reconciled unto Him. When someone has a problem and they go their separate ways and all of a sudden they come back together, we say they've been reconciled. Well, we've been reconciled to God because we went our separate ways. We were aliens. We were enemies of God. But now through the blood we've been brought nigh unto Him. We've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a treasure that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two things in Paul's day that are prevalent in our day that are enemies of the cross. We find that the book of Colossians is a masterpiece when it comes to the significance of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, open your Bible and read the book of Colossians.
Amen.
Colossians is the masterpiece of Paul's writing, revealing the Lord Jesus and who He is. Now, these errors in Paul's day were the same as the errors in our day today. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of information today, and I hope that these things will sink in and will help us in the age in which we live. But the errors in Paul's day, one of them was Phariseeism. We see the vicious Phariseeism in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now, during the day that Paul lived, and during the day that Jesus lived, the one group that was the troubles in the life of Paul, in the life of Jesus, and in the life of the early church, was that religious sect that was called the Pharisees. And they were vicious. They'd do anything to defeat the Lord. They would have done anything to defeat the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, the Pharisees were there to destroy and to tear down and to defeat the work of God. And by the way, those Pharisees are still living, breathing, working, walking today in this world in which we live. They want to do everything they can do to stop the mouths of people that love Jesus Christ and serve Him. They'll mock you, they'll make fun of you, they'll do everything to bring your name down to the gutter. But thank God Jesus Christ is the one that lifts us up.
Amen.
And we have treasures in Him. He's the one that's far above every other one that can be. And so we see the Pharisees of the day, they were vicious in their attack against Paul. They were vicious in their attack against the Lord Jesus. And they are vicious today in the attack of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're vicious to try to tear you down and to defeat you and to destroy you. But by the way, just go ahead and do what old Brother Bob Jones Sr. said. Just do right. Amen. If the stars fall out of their sockets, you do right. If the world turns against you, you follow this book, you follow the principle, the plan of God's Word, you do right, and God will bless you. He'll honor you. We find that our hope of glory, the Bible says that Christ in you, the hope of glory, you'll find that your hope of glory is not determined. Now, I almost refrain from saying this, but I'm going to. And I believe the Lord wants us to learn something. Our hope of going to heaven is not in what we thou shalt and thou shalt not do. Our hope of glory is in Him. And if you're in Him, you're going to have some things that you will not do. And if you're in Him, you're going to have some things that you will do, because you've been saved, you've been born again, your life is right, you're on fire for God, you want to serve God, and you will serve Him because He is in you and you're in Him. We have a bunch of Pharisees running around today. You got to do this and got to do that and hold on, hold out, all that mess. That's of the devil. Our salvation, our glory, our hope of glory is in none other than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sits in heaven this morning making intercession for you and I. If you're in Him, you're going to refrain from some things. If you're in Him, you're not going to want to live like the old, cold, indifferent world. If you're in Him, you're not going to want to act like the world. You're in Him, you're going to want your life to be pure and to be clean. You're going to want to serve Him. You're going to have that desire that is there, that's inbred, because He has placed Himself in you. If you're a child of God, those things will come and they will happen in your life as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. When a person gets saved, I can relate to Brother Steve Allen's testimony, how that after he got saved, he went back into that bar, but he never was happy there. God worked in his heart and God dealt with him until he said, I'm just going to trust the Lord. That's how God works. That's what God does in our life. When a person's saved, you're not going to be to the point that you enjoy the old things of the world, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you can go live like the devil and God doesn't do anything to you, you need to get where the glory is. If you can go live like the world and act like sin, act like hell itself, and never have any remorse for your sinful ways, as David did, then you probably just need to get on your face before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When a person's saved, they're going to have a new nature. They'll have a new way of life. Things are going to be different. And if God's never made a difference in your life, then it's probably that God's not in you, the hope of glory. Because when the Lord moves in, He makes a change. He takes up His abode. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. When our salvation, our hope of glory, is not determined on what we refrain from, but our hope of glory is determined by our salvation. Our hope of glory is determined by our security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope of glory is in His strength, that He's able to perform that which He has started in us unto the day of redemption, that we come into the very presence of God. Our hope of glory is in the stability that He gives. He never changes. Now, my hope's built in Him. My hope's built in me, then I of all men will be most miserable. Because I don't have any way of saving myself. I don't have any way of securing myself. I don't have any way of strengthening myself. I don't have any way. I'm not stable in all my ways. I'm unstable many times. But thank God I can go to Him that's within me, He that lives within my heart. And I see stability in Him, and I can place my faith and my trust in the Son of God. And I have a hope of glory. Amen. That hope is real. Treasures, that's darkness to the world, by the way. Those treasures that we read there in the book of Isaiah, the lost world, they don't understand what I'm talking about this morning. This is for the believer. This is for the child of God. And if we're saved, we have a treasure in Him. Jesus Christ is God's treasure chest. All you've got to do is open Him up and find all the treasures that He has for the believer. So we have the vicious Phariseeism of His day. And then in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, we have vain philosophy. Now look in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. It says, let's go back a little bit. Verse 4. It says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though he be absent in flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Notice it's in Him. "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit,
after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we have this philosophy that was going around during Paul's day, and there is a vain, deceitful philosophy that's going around this country today, and it's not in order, it's not in conjunction, and not in connection with the Word of God. There's a philosophy that runs around that man can do his own thing and live any way he wants to live and still be all right with God. That's vain. That's an empty philosophy. And the Bible says here, Paul says, don't let any man spoil you. That word that's translated spoil, I'll not even take an attempt at trying to pronounce that. But that's the only time that word is translated spoil. It means to rob. It means to steal away. It means to strip down to nothing. And if you get tied up in the philosophies of this world, of humanism and all the isms you want to think of, it'll strip you. You'll not live for God. You'll not live for the Lord. You'll not serve God. You'll not be right with God. That's vain philosophy.
Amen.
I'm glad we have hope in Him. Only time the word philosophy is used in the Word of God is right here. Nowhere else. God wants us to know that it's not just with our mind that we serve God, but it's with our heart, it's with our soul. It's not just with philosophy, but it's with our minds and our hearts, our soul, that we serve the Lord. Philosophy is vain. Vain philosophy is the love of facts concerning God that has no fellowship with God. I know a lot of people have a lot of facts about God, but they don't have any fellowship with God. They can rattle off all kinds of facts to you, but they don't have any fellowship with Him. They don't have any understanding about the Lord. I know a lot of folks that have facts, but they don't have fellowship. Knowing facts about faith, but they never persist in pursuing faith. They can tell you what to do, but they've never done it themselves. They can tell you how to live, but they don't live that way themselves. They have a lot of facts. Philosophy is being religious, but never right with God. A lot of folks today are religious, but they're not right with God. A lot of folks will bow today. A lot of folks will pray. A lot of folks will go to church today. A lot of folks will be right. A lot of folks try to do things in their own flesh that's right, but they do not know God. Now, we that are saved, we have these treasures in Him. What is the treasure? Having these things before us, verses 2 and 3, where we read in our text, there we find in Colossians chapter 2, we find that our treasure, first of all, is the treasure of wisdom. Now, wisdom is that God gives ability to apply knowledge. Now, we have knowledge, but you've got to have wisdom how to apply that knowledge. A lot of kids in high school, when they get to algebra and they get to the different sciences and the different courses, they may have the head knowledge, but they don't know how to apply what they've learned. Well, knowledge, wisdom, and the treasure that God has given us, says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is nothing more than applying to our best advantage how that we can be right with God, how we can serve God, how we can live a clean, moral, upright life is just applying what we have up here and letting God have His way in our life. That's the treasure of the believer. Christ, as I said a while ago, is God's treasure chest. And all we've got to do is take the Word of God and open that up. Wisdom gives safety from error. If you have wisdom today, the errors of this world are not going to bother you. It doesn't bother me for some different groups to come knock on my door. If you have the wisdom of God, if you have the knowledge of God, if you have these things of the Lord, then they're not going. That gives you safety. Because the Word of God will annihilate you and inoculate you against those things that are wicked and evil and false doctrine, and He will show you that the truth lies right here in this book. If somebody else pulls out a book on you and it's not the Word of God, then you pull this book out on them. It will expose their error. It will expose their way. It will expose their wickedness. We find that wisdom is the secret, gives you the secret for progress. If you want to progress in the Lord, if you want to go forward, get in this book. Get the wisdom of God. Get the wisdom of the Lord. Know what God says. Know what the Lord wants for you. And spiritually, He will give those things to you. God never separates wisdom and knowledge. Because you're without the one, you don't have the other. That's to any good. Notice here. It says that He's given all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're hid in Christ. Now, we've already established the fact, if we're saved, that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And we are in Christ. That's a union that you cannot understand. You just have to believe that. Christ is in us. We're in Christ. And so, therefore, if all these things, all these treasures are in Him, thank God they're there for our disposal. They're there for our taking. They're there. If I had a little old treasure chest here this morning, we could open it up and take these things out. And the first thing you better take out is this thing of wisdom. Solomon, the wisest of all men, how did he receive his wisdom? He asked of God. He could have had anything he desired, but he said, God, I've got to have wisdom to lead this people. And you've got to have wisdom to lead your family. You've got to have wisdom to work in this world. You've got to have wisdom to serve God in this world. And the first thing that we have, this first treasure that we have in Him, is the wisdom of God, how to live and how to serve and how to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two kinds of wisdoms. There's that depraved man and there's that delivered man. The depraved man's wisdom, it's nothing but foolishness. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 20. Verse 18 says, the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us that are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish, made foolish the wisdom of this world? The depraved man, that man that's still in his sin, all of his wisdom in the sight of God is nothing more than what? Foolishness.
Amen. Amen.
He's foolish.
Amen.
He has no understanding. He has nothing in him that he can understand what thus saith the Lord. Because these things are spiritually discerned unto him. You know, a lot of people, they can't get into a message, they can't get into a service because they just don't want God to be in their heart. A lot of folks, they say, oh, they'll give that lip service, but when it comes down to action, when it comes down to doing something, they will not do anything for God. They just won't do it. Won't be right. And the world calls us a fool this morning for serving Him. The world calls us foolish. It's the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen, but He's made the wisdom of the world in His eyes foolishness. There's a play on words there. Paul says what we think is wise as the world's concerned with God is nothing more than foolish. And what the world thinks is foolish is the wisdom of God. It brings about repentant soul. It brings about salvation to the lost. So wisdom is called, man's wisdom is called foolishness. There's an intellectual world. And that world is perishing. That world is passing away. There's a religious world and an intellectual world that God has no pleasure in them. And there are problems in the flesh and there's destroying and tearing down and defeating. All those things are of the world. But thank God there's a wisdom that is of the Lord.
Amen.
There's a wisdom of the world that's without God. There's a wisdom of the world that's inspired by the God of this world. I could give you scripture on scripture for these verses, for these things. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says that they're without God. 1 Corinthians verse number 1, or chapter 1, verse number 20, says they're inspired by the God of this world. We'll notice that not only that they're satisfied with the flesh. This old sinful world in which we live in, they're satisfied where they are. And the reason they're satisfied is because they don't see anything different in the child of God. They don't see anything in us. The reason that the person can just go ahead and do what he wants to do is because so-and-so down the street says they're a member of a church and they do what they want to do. The reason why folks don't serve God is because they look at other folks that say they are serving God and they don't see any difference whatsoever. And that's foolishness on our part. That's silliness on our part. God has ever needed people that be faithful to Him. It's in the year 1990. And I said that in 89. I said that every year I've ever been saved. I believe God needs people. God wants people to be faithful. God wants us to be where we ought to be, when we ought to be there, to serve Him, and if nothing else, to show our friends, our loved ones, our neighbor, that we're not a hypocrite.
Amen.
If you're not going to serve God Monday, don't serve Him on Sunday.
Right.
If you're not going to try to be right with God on Tuesday, forget about it on Sunday morning. If you can't serve God on Sunday night, don't worry about it on Sunday morning. If you can't serve God and be faithful and be right with God, then just get rid of the whole thing and let the world see you for what you are, and that's nothing more than a farce and a hypocrite in the sight of God. If you're not going to be right with God, if you're not going to serve God, these are things that we as a child of God better know. I believe a child of God ought to be in the house of God. If a door's open 4 o'clock on Sunday morning, you ought to be here. If we treated everybody else like we treat God, we wouldn't have anything. If we treated God Sunday night, treated everybody Monday like we treat God Sunday morning or Sunday night, we wouldn't have a job Tuesday. Oh, well, this come up and that come up. Well, let it come up on Monday and see what happens. Well, I had this happen. I just couldn't be there. Well, next time it comes up on Tuesday, don't go there. You say, well, I'm obligated to go to my job. You're obligated to go to the house of God. If you're saved, you're obligated to be in the house of the Lord and to serve Him. And there's where our wisdom comes from, is being in this book. Half the time we can't even teach the Word of God because one Sunday there's 45 people absent on Sunday school. If you're guilty, I'm sorry. How do you expect to get in the Word of God and to learn anything if you're not here to receive the Word of God? And then we go out and hang our heads and we go out and shout the victory and joy to the Lord. We don't have anything to shout about. If we can't be faithful to God, if we don't have enough understanding, if we don't have enough knowledge, if we don't have enough wisdom to know that we've got to get where God is, then we don't have anything to shout about, honey. Be faithful. I said, boy, I'm glad this is just the first Sunday. Get her started right. If it don't change, it'll be the second Sunday. Folks, we've got to get to understand that God wants us consistently faithful with Him. And if you're not, don't go crying when something goes wrong. Oh, I can do this. Go ahead. Wisdom of the world is without God. Wisdom of the world is inspired by the God of this world. Wisdom of the world satisfies the flesh. Wisdom of the world destroys the soul. Wisdom of the world offers no glory to God. Wisdom of the world masters the spirit of man. And you take control. Now, I've just given you the word wisdom, and I've given you a phrase that starts with every word, every letter. Wisdom. Wisdom of the world. Oh, but thank God. And with this, we'll close real quickly. Not only is there wisdom of the depraved man, but there's the wisdom of the delivered man. In Him. Notice there in Colossians where we read, it's in Him. It's in Him. It's in the Lord. It's not in the world. It's in Him that we have these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom of the righteous man is called a treasure. Over in the book of Job, chapter number 28 and verse number 12. Job chapter number 28, verse number 12 says, But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth said, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx and sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Oh, you want to be right with God. You want the blessing of God. Have the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Have that which is right in the wisdom of the Lord. It says in verse number 27, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death shall say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. But where is wisdom found? I tell you where wisdom is found. It's found in the Lord.
Amen.
You can look to the creation of God. You're not going to find the wisdom of God there. You'll find everything else, but you'll not find the wisdom. It can't be found. It can't be compared. It can't be bought. It can't be exchanged. We have heard the fame thereof. We hear that from the Word of God, the treasure of wisdom. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. But the wisdom of God is the blessings of the Lord upon the child of God. And then the knowledge of God. Oh, how we need to know what knowledge is. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts with understanding and have the wisdom to use them. We have in Him all these treasures. He says in Isaiah, I'll give unto thee treasures of darkness. Then in the book of Colossians, He says in Him, talking about Christ, whom we have all these treasures. The treasure of wisdom and the treasures of knowledge. What about you this morning? Do you have that wisdom to serve God? Are you having the right relationship with the Lord? Do you honor God in all your substance? If you're not, by the way, we might as well just hear it all. If you don't give to God, you don't have the wisdom of God. If you're not a tither, if you don't give to the Lord, then you don't have the wisdom of the Lord. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Yea, he have robbed me with tithes and offerings. Wisdom is to give to the Lord those things that are His. And He first of all owns you and me. And then He lives in us, the hope of glory. And who are we to say, no, I'll not study my Bible? Who are we to say, no, I'll not go Sunday night? I'll not go Wednesday night. Or if they have the Bible, they can do it without me. Yes, we can. But you can't do without us. See, there's where we miss out. People say, oh, they can do without me. Oh, but we can. And we do without some of you a lot of times. But folks, you can't do without us. You can't do without this book. You can't live right with the Lord unless you're in this book, serving and honoring God. So folks, we need to understand that wisdom and knowledge go together. This is a treasure that we have. The treasures of darkness, treasures in Him. Let the world know that Christ lives in you, that He is the hope of glory. There's been a few times I've known some people that they'd go out and invite folks to come to church, and those dear folks they invited were more faithful than they were. Well, that's hard to explain. I've had people come and say, well, so-and-so invited me. Where are they this morning? And the preacher's the one who's put on the spot. Because you're not there to be found. What I'm talking about is wisdom. What I'm talking about is in Him. What I'm talking about is honoring the Lord. Now some people say, well, so-and-so, they do this. No, don't worry about so-and-so. Look to yourself. Look to yourself. Some people say, well, this preacher or that preacher, he does it this way. Don't worry about how he does it. How are you going to serve God? How are you going to honor God? How are you going to live for the Lord? How are you going to be this year? Are you going to go on, continue as you are? I hope not. I hope there's not a one of us that will continue as we are. I hope every one of us will progress in the work of the Lord. Go ahead. Get on fire. Serve God. Be what you ought to be for the Lord. If you haven't been faithful to the house of God, then just determine, I'm going to be faithful to God. What if the Lord was as faithful to you as you are to Him? Answer that. What if the Lord blessed you as much as you bless Him? What if God honored you like you honor Him? Where would you be? Well, we'd all be in a bad shape, wouldn't we? Oh, may God help us to get our hearts right and say, Lord, I want the wisdom. I want to open up your treasure chest. I want to open up the Lord. And I want to take out this wisdom and knowledge, and I want to place it here in my heart. We're going to have some treasures these next few weeks. But if you don't get to this one, none of the others will matter. Treasures of wisdom, treasures of knowledge in Him. Let's stand.